From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, January 5th, 2026. As Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro made his first court appearance in New York today, many in the country's global diaspora have celebrated his ouster. But as one former Venezuelan journalist now living in Portland explains, many questions remain about the future of her home country. Ari Snyder reports.
Yasmielen Beetswine fled Venezuela 9 years ago, she says, after her reporting on the government's human rights abuses led to threats against her. Speaking in Spanish, she says she welcomed the news of Maduro's ouster because years of popular resistance had so far failed to bring about durable change.
Intentamos con protestas pacíficas, lo intentamos mediante las elecciones, lo intentamos acudiendo a organismos internacionales denunciando crímenes de lesa humanidad.
We tried through peaceful protest, we tried through elections, we tried by going to international organizations and denouncing crimes against humanity, she says. But she says what this means for the future of the country remains highly uncertain, without clear plans for a political transition. Beetswine wants to see the country hold elections, but says that could take some time. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
The Maine Attorney General's office says that more than 478,000 people were affected by the data breach last spring at Covenant Health, many more than the 8,000 originally reported. More than half were Maine residents. Covenant owns St. Mary's Health System in Lewiston, St. Joseph Healthcare in Bangor, and St. Andre Healthcare in Biddeford. The organization says it mailed letters last week to notify affected individuals that an unauthorized third party may have obtained their personal information, including medical records and Social Security numbers. Maine's Public Retirement Fund has missed a 2026 deadline to divest from fossil fuels imposed by lawmakers 5 years ago. Climate activists are frustrated with the agency, which says it has a financial duty to hold on to oil and gas assets into the foreseeable future. Peter McGuire has more.
The Maine Public Employee Retirement System says in a new report that it should not be forced to sell off its holdings, including stock in oil giant ExxonMobil, because of potential losses. Scott Buddy with Maine Youth for Climate Justice says the agency is falsely claiming that divestment would threaten a diverse portfolio.
And we've found plenty of evidence to indicate that they could make substantial divestment moves. And if anything, their performance might actually be better and certainly wouldn't be hurt.
Maine PERS has more than $1 billion invested in the fossil fuel sector, about 5% of its total investments. The agency says it has not bought into the sector since 2017. The Maine Attorney General's office says it only has to follow the divestment law if it is fiscally prudent. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Governor Janet Mills will soon have to decide what to do with dozens of bills that have been sitting on her desk since the summer. As Kevin Miller reports, one would dramatically expand gambling in Maine.
Once lawmakers return to Augusta on Wednesday, Mills will have only 3 days to act on about 60 measures that were passed in the final days of the last session. She can either veto them or allow them to become law without her signature. One closely watched bill would give the Wabanaki tribes the exclusive right to offer casino-style games, like blackjack and poker, through mobile apps or online. Maine's Gambling Control Board voted unanimously to urge Mills to veto the measure. Board Chairman Stephen Silver says there are differing opinions about whether to legalize so-called iGaming at all. But Silver says if Maine does go that route, the board strongly believes that the two existing brick-and-mortar casinos in Bangor and Oxford should be included.
Granting the tribes a monopoly and cutting out the casinos, when we've seen from other states that legalizing iGaming cuts into casino revenue, that's going to have adverse tax consequences. It could cause several hundred Mainers to lose their jobs.
Oxford Casino and Hollywood Casino in Bangor generated roughly $67 million in tax revenues in 2024 that was distributed to more than a dozen programs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
And Mills announced today that she'll give her final State of the State address on January 27th. The speech will be delivered before a joint convention of the Maine legislature and against the backdrop of the governor's bid to unseat Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins during this year's midterm elections. Mills is in her second and final term, and a crowded field of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents is vying to replace her when she leaves office in January of next year. The address will be carried by Maine Public Television with a scheduled start time of 7 p.m. Under a consent agreement announced today, Maine's Bureau of Consumer Credit Protection will reclaim nearly $2 million taken from consumers by scammers who operate Bitcoin kiosks. The machines look like ATMs and allow users to transfer cash to digital wallets. According to the FBI, Bitcoin kiosk fraud hit $333 million in losses in 2025. Under the consent agreement, kiosk operator Bitcoin Depot will compensate Mainers who lost money in a Bitcoin Depot kiosk in Maine between 2022 and 2025. More information can be found on the Bureau of Consumer Credit Protection website. A new state law will require municipalities with at least 4,000 residents to collect data on residential building permits and also track how many units are demolished each year. That information will be submitted to the state, says the bill's sponsor, State Representative Tracy Geer. Geer says it could help guide other communities in advancing their own housing development proposals.
So when you look around the state, there are some communities that are really doing just a great job of working with their residents to understand what their housing challenges are and to do the really difficult work of making some changes to their ordinances to allow different kinds of housing and really getting everyone on board to do that and then actually producing the housing.
Geer says she expects the first housing data report late this spring. Snowmobile trails across Maine are icy and hazardous, and local clubs are urging riders to stay off the trails until there's more snow on the ground. Al Sweat from the Maine Snowmobile Association says poor snowpack in recent years is disappointing for riders and businesses.
I usually go 1,000 miles a year, sometimes more. Last year I got 350. I know a lot of riders got less than that, and that's very discouraging.
Sweat says frigid weather will help firm up trails, but the state could use another foot of snow to make conditions safer. Maine winters are warming as global temperatures increase because of fossil fuel pollution. Sweat says the changes are hurting small businesses that rely on snowmobile traffic. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, a look ahead at the upcoming year in politics. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.